Om Shanti. Welcome to this wonderful session just for you with the topic of secrets of elevated efforts. Secrets of elevated efforts. And although each one of us has individual efforts that we make, there's certainly a number of practices that we can be doing to excel our stage, and as Baba was saying today, be the world server. So with us in a question and answer format, which will be in half an hour's time, we have Sister Gopi, who many of you would know. Sister Gopi had her first meditation experience here in Madhavan in 1977, and was very inspired by Daddy Prakashmani in those early days. Sister Gopi took physical birth in Africa, and you could say is definitely a world server, as one who travels to many places, mainly based in London at the moment, but heavily involved with the programs in Madhavan and helping a lot with the health systems as well. So Sister Gopi will speak for about half an hour on the topic of the secrets of elevated efforts, and then the amazing Sister Karen from Tampa in Florida, she's a centre resident from there, she'll be asking some questions. So let's all increase our efforts and be a star in Baba's eyes.
Om Shanti. Good morning. Is everybody okay? Not too cold? No? Little? When Sister Shona asked me to take this session, she said, please share stories of Daddy Janki. Shall we call it stories of Daddy Janki? And I thought, what did Daddy Janki represent? Having seen her very close up, for me she represented what an elevated effort maker is. And that's why then I gave Shona this title, Secrets of Elevated Effort. And just earlier this morning, I was so engrossed in downloading so many inspirations and, you know, stories from Daddy that I forgot the time and I almost didn't make it. And I feel that one of the privileges of observing our elders very close up has little to do with proximity. People feel sustenance means proximity, physical proximity. And actually, it's not necessarily physical proximity, but it's a resonance of vibration. If you truly have an interest and an aim to become like Baba, then suddenly you will start to perceive all the qualifications you need to become that. But if that aim is out of focus, is a bit hazy, you know how when you've got a kaleidoscope and it's not quite crystal clear at the end, then our effort making is like shoot from the hip. Okay, let's just do a bit of effort here and a bit of effort here, and let's just follow this person who seems to be making effort. And it's a bit ad hoc. And it's almost like even though you may be exposed to a very rich environment, you may be exposed to people making effort, you can't catch because your aim isn't focused. And I think that's one of the very first secrets. Go back to your aim. Why have I become a Brahmin? And really, what am I becoming? Because once that comes into focus, so many things open up in your ability to perceive and receive the information and the inspiration you need to become that. Because all of that is already around you. And when the intellect is not refined enough, it doesn't catch it. Because you're not looking for it. You've switched off to your aim, so you're in the sleep of Kumbhakarna. You know what zombies do? They just kind of walk, move around like this. So we can become spiritual zombies if we're not careful. We can follow a routine, do our Amrit Vela, do Murali, everything. But there's no juice flowing through our veins. And that brings me to, this is something that I did observe in Dadi, you know, she was very clear. She would always say, I want to give you the sustenance that Sakar Baba gave me. So clear in what she had to be. Imagine having left Bharat in 1974, when service here in Bharat was growing. There were hundreds of students in the morning, and then be transplanted into a place where there's only 10 students, a tiny little house, 10 students, and that not every day. And then, you know, how is world service going to happen? And I think that's when Dadi as a spiritual scientist was really born. You know, the 60 or odd years she stayed in Bharat were a preparation, a ground preparation for her to catapult to a different level in her stage. And it's not that she had, you know, she stopped doing service and only did yoga. I mean, between 60 and 104, she traveled the globe. She became instruments to give birth to so many, many Brahmins, instruments to put instruments for service in so many, many places. And there was something about the way she looked after herself that enabled her to bring completion in her effort, completion in the settlement of her karmic accounts, and completion in service. She kept that aim. If I have to become myself complete, it's not just going to happen out of thin air. And I think because she kept that powerful aim for herself, everything, and she kept very firm, I'll say principles, niyam, she used to call them, personal disciplines that protected her subtle power that she would receive from Baba. So sometimes, you know, in Brahmin life, we listen to a lot of gyan. But how much of that gyan has transformed itself into a personal principle? It's like a tight belt that you put around you that protects, creates a boundary and a safety for your energy to grow, your subtle energy to grow. And so, you know, one of the things about fortune, and I remember having a conversation with her about this, I said to Dadi, can you define fortune? And she said, it's the ability to be detached and to take power from Baba. And I've held that definition since then, because that is a great fortune to take love and power from Baba in every moment, so that we're not just filling ourselves up for this moment, but we're filling ourselves up for the whole cycle. And even, you know, she used to say, I give my body the rest it needs, but I stay in the awareness of who I belong to, so that these vibrations can reach far and wide everybody around me. there is levels of effort we make that are very external, at the level of action. Then there are levels of effort that are more subtle, that are to do with our drishti. Even more subtle, our attitude. And even more subtle, our awareness. And, you know, having observed this soul in terms of her effort, she used to say, Gyan is simple. Yoga is easy and dharana needs attention. And if you have these three, service comes running to you, follows you like a shadow. And she spent a huge amount of her time watching, observing her own thoughts and feelings in any given situation or moment. She never let herself go or let herself surrender to a relationship dynamic or a situation or a conversation. There was somehow this ability to be with herself and be with others at the same time. Be with herself and Baba as she is in the every scene of the drama. And I think this is one of the biggest secrets, the ability to remain a detached observer no matter what. It requires the intellect to really understand that this is a play. This is a drama. You know, the authority of the drama is the authority of Satopradhan, Rajopradhan, Tamopradhan. Satopradhan, Rajopradhan, Tamopradhan. Within that, there are games, there's a play, and each actor has its own part. Within that cycle of purity. And recognizing at this point in time, in the confluence age, my part and what I have to do, and to play my part with Baba, is the most elevated fortune. Because in Sangam Yuga, every action we perform in remembrance of Baba creates a blueprint for my sustenance around the whole cycle. If I eat food in remembrance of Baba, on the path of bhakti, I will offer food to God before I eat. Everything has a very deep connection. So even the bhavna that we create in bhakti is all dependent on the present time and moment. And the deep love for consistent effort. You know, Brijmohan Bhai once called it regularity in your effort. Not just stop and start, but to keep a sense of consistency in your attention towards yourself. Many times souls ask, how is it possible, you know, when we live in the world and we go to jobs and we live in families and to pay attention? I'm like, well, all of us have had births in male and female bodies. At some point in the cycle, you have been a mother. You've given birth to a child, right? And one of the things about a mother is that when the child is born, she'll hold it very close to her. You know, they wrap the kid up and she'll carry the child with her while she's cooking, while she's shopping. Child's very close. So she's got this ability to keep one eye on the child and the other eye on what she has to do. She doesn't just stop her life to look after the child. She has to continue. Yet, in the middle of all of that, she doesn't suddenly drop the child and say, oh, I forgot I had a child because I got so busy with the cooking. Or I got so caught up with talking to this person. We have this faculty. We just don't use it. And so, you know, the foundation of elevated effort is first developing love for your stage. It has to be a greater love than your love for Baba. Because if you have love for your stage, guaranteed your love for Baba will escalate umpteen times. But if you neglect your stage and try and have love for Baba, it's like walking in Brahmin life with a limp. And you're always then begging to Baba, asking for a handout, asking for power. And this was something Baba clearly underlined in yesterday's Murali. Children do not ask for anything. That's not the sanskara a king has. So one of the things that I was particularly inspired by, you know, where it was just a particular note I'd taken. Yeah, okay. I think the preparation of our stage, the attentiveness we have on our stage, allows us to stay safe from even the consequences of our actions. Because there are two things that happen to human beings. One is that you will reference something in your past. And another is you will be in wishful thinking or hopeful thinking about the future. So when you observe what's going on in your mind, the pulls or the strain that's coming on you is because you're doing one of these two things. And when you look after your stage, you have to be here and now. You have to observe what's happening inside here and now. And you have to go back and drop in to open the back door into that very subtle awareness that I, the soul, belong to Baba. Whatever I am, however I am, I belong to Baba. That seat of awareness is the first basis of self-respect that finishes the feeling of bondage to your past, bondage to your old sanskaras and habits, and you start to nurture a feeling of subtle love inside. And that's so important, because when subtle love is gone, you become dry, completely dry. So, you know, it's not about having desires in service, and I wish and I want to do this. When you really cultivate that very subtle awareness, I am a soul and I belong to Baba. Just put everything outside for a few moments and just drop into that awareness. And just enjoy the sweetness and the purity of that awareness. Because the power of purity that we're drawing from is the power of pure relationship between soul and Baba. It's not just soul alone, it's soul and Baba. The kind of quote-unquote chemical reaction that happens when I, the soul, remember my Supreme Father. It's so sweet. And that awareness is like a balm for everything. And so when we start to accumulate subtle love, then so much of our service is actually based on our attitude and vibrations. Because people won't change by what you say to them, but people will change by how you made them feel. So suddenly, service has less to do with strategy and plans and this. Of course, there are practical elements we need to look at, be accurate, follow the communication loops, close communication threads. But 70%, 80% of the game is inside. It's the cultivation of this space of subtle love that keeps the attitude very soft, that keeps my awareness broad, and that allows me to see through differences. Now, whenever we used to sit with Daddy, Daddy says, there's no difference of opinion. There's no conflict. And I thought, where is she sitting inside herself that she doesn't see that anymore? Her reality is each one is playing their part. How can there be a difference of opinion when each one is playing their part? It is what it is. And nobody is to blame, because everyone, even if they're expressing negatively, so to speak, is under the influence of something or another, if it's not Baba. Either the influence of your past nature, old scars. So nobody is to blame. And yet, on the contrary, as you observe a soul playing its part, and maybe that soul is expressing in a distressed way, but when you remain a detached observer with a reservoir of subtle love, you know, that reaches that soul. It softens them. At last, I'm in the presence of someone that can accept me as I am, even if I'm flawed, even if I'm imperfect. And it was amazing, because at the level of Drishti, one of the things I observed in Daddy, she was very stubborn about seeing the virtues and specialities of a soul. She really created that boundary for herself. I remember taking her for a walk one day after Murali. She'd walk about 20 minutes. Most of the time it was in silence. And one time, you know, she stopped and she said to me, is there anything you'd like to share? And I was in two minds about whether to tell her or not about a particular individual I was having difficulty with. My conscience said, just be quiet and walk. But, you know, like your little ego that wants to kind of just talk about it. So I opened my mouth and I said, you know, Daddy, I'm okay, but there's this particular person, and, you know, we're supposed to be working together, and he doesn't listen to a thing I say, and he acts up like this, and he's like this. And she stopped, and she turned around and looked at me and said, what do you want? Do you want Daddy to believe what you're saying about that person? Is that what you want? If Daddy lets you continue to speak like this, then it will become a sanskara of yours, and that will affect your yoga. So stop it. And she just refused. She refused to hear anything more about that person. And I realized that because Daddy kept such a firm discipline, personal discipline, to see people's virtues and specialities, she never let herself come into a conflict of loyalty. A conflict of loyalty only comes because you've accepted something that somebody has said about somebody to be true. When you accept Baba's vision for a soul, how Baba wants to use a soul, then there is no conflict of a loyalty. Then, you know, when I think of one of the other specialities, was acting from a place of complete faith and trust. This was one of her biggest, I'd say, weapons. Daddy had no sense of uncertainty inside her. In the sense of, will something happen? Will it happen? Won't it happen? And I realized I had an experience with her one time well, a few times I've had this, but once it was very, very powerful, where in her drishti, she was giving me long drishti, and I could literally feel like her drishti was pulling the deity out of me. Like this deity was just coming out. I was thinking, wow, what is in your vision that you are making me feel in this moment in time? I feel certain I am going to become this. And I realize all of us sitting in this room want to be recognized. We want to be seen for who we are. Because when we're seen in a very true way, even doubtful questions about ourselves finish. We won't have questions. So when you really learn to see someone's virtues and specialities, any doubts they have about themselves also finish. And that's how you create a sense of certainty in a gathering. A platform through which a shared trust can develop. Of course, everybody has their unique set of nature and sanskars, and that's it is what it is. And I remember one time we'd brought a group to meet Daddy. And they were working on a big project, building a retreat center, and it wasn't being finished on time because there was an internal conflict. And one of the brothers asked Daddy, "Daddy, this person is lying to me. How can I trust them?" And Daddy said, "You can't trust anyone's nature or sanskars. But what you can trust is how Baba wants to use them. And that's what you have to put your trust in. See the speciality, see how Baba wants to use them, and move forward with that. And eventually, all the doubts, uncertainties, questions, you know, all start to calm down. And something starts to flourish." So as Brahmins, we often don't realize the more subtle we go inside, in terms of our efforts, subtle awareness and attitude, the more powerful the vibrations spread outside. The more powerful we become atmosphere creators. And in an atmosphere, so many people benefit. Right? So whenever, you know, Daddy would sometimes say, the subtle region in the incorporeal world is not outside, it's inside. And it's true. It's a switch. It's parallel dimensions, and you're just going from one to another to another. You're going from sakar to nirakar to akar. Sakar is corporeal, and then incorporeal, and then angelic, avyakt. The element of light, the element of silence, the element of sound. And when you experiment on yourself to make yourself bodiless, then you can start cruising these dimensions easier. That's elevated effort. Elevate means up. It means, which literally means, doesn't mean up as in go beyond the roof and the sky, no. It means actually go in and refine your energy until you hit the point, until you hit that space of the purity of who you are and who you belong to. And you experience the deep silence and love that comes from that connection. And it's so incredible because it's in that space that you can truly start to break your attachments. You know what attachment does? Attachment doesn't allow us to give and receive love. We say, "Oh, I love you because I'm attached to you because I love you." You're not. It's a very selfish state to be in. And the reason why we've developed karmic bondages, of course, there's been maybe an exchange that's not been so positive. People have gotten hurt, but fundamentally, the soul deeply desires to belong and deeply desires love. And when we put attachment in between, we block a flow of love. And so when we go back to the source and the barriers of attachment melt, then, you know, it's amazing how much you can open yourself to receiving love and giving love. And then it's like you feel you belong to Baba and you belong to everyone. It doesn't matter if you don't know what their name is or where they come from or what. You belong to them. They belong to you. And the Dadis were amazing because they gave this feeling to everyone. Everyone belongs. You belong. We belong. So this, for me, is what elevated effort looks like, to bring ourselves to this state of deep, pure, subtle love, a love-filled awareness. And of course, the seed of that is staying true to who I am in each moment. Okay, something from the past comes up. Full stop, I'm a soul. Okay, some worry from the future comes up. Full stop, I'm a soul. That's what it means to stay true to yourself. To stay true to an original state inside. And that's what I saw Daddy Janki do a lot. And on a last note, before Kara takes over, there's many other things, but one of the things that she had was an incredible discipline of practicing the bodiless stage. Daddy's own health had faced severe challenges ever since she was a child. And of course, you know, her cough, she used to say, has become her best friend. But all of those physical health challenges meant that it would just make her go deeper and deeper into the bodiless stage to draw Baba's power. And that's how I think she spent between 60 and 104 completing world service and becoming Karmatit. Because her karmic accounts were her fodder. They were like fodder for her to stay close to God. They weren't a bondage. She never experienced karmic accounts to be a bondage. But they were just fodder that took her deep inside to draw power, love, and truth from God.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Om Shanti. Such a pleasure to be here with you. I feel it's such a privilege to get to ask you some questions. So I love what you shared. And you started with that Dadi, first of all, had the aim to become like Baba. And today, Baba said in the Murli that hardly anybody knows me as I am or what I am. And you know me number-wise according to your efforts. So what effort do we have to make to know what we have to do to become equal to Baba? And is it more about knowing Baba, or is it more about forgetting our past bhakti sanskars and letting go of our old beliefs?
Okay, let's define what number-wise is.
Okay, let's start there.
Okay. So the main effort is one Baba and none other. As simple as it sounds, if you look into your awareness field right now, it's maybe one Baba and one other, or one Baba and two others. It's not one Baba and none other. That's the main effort. When there is nothing between you and Baba, you can start to perceive and feel and understand Baba as he is, what he is, who he is. The moment somebody comes between you and Baba, guess what you become? Number two. Then you put another person in, you become number three. And then another person comes between you and Baba, you become number four. And that's how you become number wise. And the more people you put in between you and Baba, the more number wise you become.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Never thought about it that way.
It's how it is. And interestingly enough, why do we put a person in between me and Baba? Because I want something from that person.
Mm.
And then either it's an expectation, a want, and how can you know God as he is if you live in an expectant state yourself? You know, soul and Baba, there's no expectation.
Mm.
There's a very clean, open field and space to be and perceive who each one is. But the moment there's another one in between, the number-wise game begins, your expectant state begins, and you start projecting your wants on God. And then everybody has a different God in their head.
Mm. So are these gods like our Lakhics, our center coordinator?
They could be anybody you choose them to be. Because even if you really dislike somebody, they can become a god for you because they occupy the space here between you and Baba. So, you know, it's one of the things that kind of I've watched with all the daddies, and it's something I pay attention a lot to, is this one Baba and none other. Because the moment a human comes in, it destabilizes you inside to a certain extent.
Mm. Interesting.
And you cannot perceive something beyond you at that moment. And you know, Baba's power is immense. To digest that power, it means I have to just free myself from these things to be with Baba. Even the slightest weakness or the slightest dependency won't allow me to digest that power.
Wow, that is an eye-opening answer. Thank you. I never thought about it that way before. So another question. So I recently had the privilege of spending some time at Global Retreat Center. Mm. And then we took a day trip into London, and I visited Tennyson Road first and then Global Cooperation House. So I got the difference between the two, the vast difference between the two. And I thought to myself at the time, I said, wow, this is what Dottie's yoga power did. But then listening to your talk just now, you were saying that she was disciplined and it was really about her dharana.
Hmm.
So can you tell me a little bit more about that dharana that helped bring that huge change so that service really did follow her in a huge way?
For those of you who don't know, Tennyson Road was the first place where they, you know, landed. Jayanti Ben's father, Murali Dada, had rent, and I think the rent was something like £10 a week or something, which is peanuts today, but in those days it was a lot. And it was just one of those, you know how that we get all these houses in England all close together, so it's one of those little houses, tiny. And in the early days, the upstairs floor was, you know, another family, and Daddy would, a Lakhic family, and they would have to share the bathroom. So it was very simple, basic in the beginning. And I remember one time asking Daddy, did you ever not think that I've come here for service and to start service and, you know, world service, how's it going to happen when you don't even have regular students every day? And she said, never.
Mm.
She said every morning at Amrit Vela, she could see like hundreds of thousands of lights and souls. It was like souls waiting to come from Baba, and she would be invoking souls, you know? So she never let herself, she never let her mental state drop in to the reality now.
Mm.
This reality did not restrict her from serving. You know, people make excuses, oh, I don't have this facility, I don't have this, I don't have hands, I don't have this. That's not what service is about. Service is a stage, service is a vibration, service is a vision, service is a deep projection of that purity of vibration of your relationship with Baba. So she just expanded inside. And the other power that, you know, I remember when Global Cooperation House, which is Baba's big building today, when it was inaugurated, and she stood on the stage and she said, "This place has been built with the power of silence." And when we really understand the power of silence, it is the power of pure vibration. It is a space in which you don't entertain, you let all limitations dissolve. And you let yourself be suspended in that fabric of trust in which you were born with. You know, every baby that's born doesn't have a crisis of self-respect. They're never born with a doubt. They come into this world like a master. And so purity is rejoining, you know, in that unlimited space of knowing who we are, who we belong to, and there's a fabric of trust there. And that power of silence that just keeps the pure feelings going, the good wishes going, the ability to remain detached from the limitations and keep taking power from Baba. That's what's increasing my fortune. And as my fortune increases, that's what manifests outside. And it's one of the things Baba used to say. You must never ask for money, but you have to keep a big heart. And then money flows automatically. It cannot be that you say you have a big heart and no money. Because it's both very deeply connected. So the money is a low level frequency. It has no mind, no energy of its own. If you worry about money, it runs away from you. But when you expand your vibration, develop a powerful vision, become unlimited in your attitude and service, resources start to flow to you. So you're the only one putting a barrier with an excuse or a limitation or reason for why something can't happen.
Wow. I love that when you have a big heart, the resources just flow.
Yeah.
It's quite a shift.
It is.
It's quite a shift in consciousness.
You have to cultivate a big heart. Because our hearts have become so shrunk. You know, somebody speaks to us sharply and we suddenly shrivel and go into a corner. Or if somebody says something we don't like and we suddenly get insulted. You know, we've got so many barriers of body consciousness that need melting. And if we don't hang on to the bodiless stage and really practice melting, finishing this feeling of insult, finishing this feeling of I, finishing this feeling of my, then you will be infected whether you like it or not. And then you end up in internal turmoil.
Absolutely. You know, you've given us a lot today, and you've talked about being equal to Baba, not letting anybody get in between. You talked about Dottie's discipline and her dharana and serving from a big heart. And it feels a little bit overwhelming. And I often have this issue. Like right now, our theme here in Manoban is to be a bestower. And then but we have Abhyak signals to become bodiless. And in the U.S., we're having a love for sadhana effort. And I'm like, do I focus on one? Do I need to become a bodiless bestower who has love for sadhana? Like, how do I work this practically?
God bless you. I understand that there's lots of platforms of ideas being shared to support the unlimited family. What's very important is, what do I need? And that comes when you sit quietly with Baba. You have to look at two things. You have to look at, what is it when silence, what is it that still keeps me distant from Baba?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to close that gap. Right? So you can't just try and hope an idea somebody gives you is going to close that gap. You have to face Baba. You have to go to Baba's room. You have to square up with Baba. You have to let go of something in front of Baba. That's basic foundation work that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be replaced by a program somewhere or a topic from somewhere.
Right.
Right? So what is that basics that I have to do to square up with Baba so that I have an honest, transparent relationship with Baba and I feel close to Baba? That's the first foundation.
Okay, so step one to just go sit.
Yeah, you need to sometimes just go and sit in front of Baba and you need to just let it all out.
Okay.
You know, I remember being in a country one time and the sister just had so many things going on. I said to her, you know what? You can speak and I can speak, but we're not going anywhere right now. You just go into Baba's room, lock yourself in there for 3 hours, cry, scream, shout, write, whatever you want to do, let it all out in front of Baba. But let it out.
Mm.
Right? Because it's an energetic block.
Right.
And until you sit in front of Baba and you have the courage to take constant drishti from Baba, that drishti will tell you a lot.
Mm.
It will release a lot. Baba's drishti does amazing things. And you sit with that intent, Baba, I want to let this go. This is not who I am anymore. So you have to bring yourself to a place where you are comfortable with how you are with Baba.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
And so what happens is you need to give yourself the space to do that.
Mm.
I mean, Baba, the daddies, Mama, Baba and Mama, you know, they didn't listen to Avyakt Murlis.
Yeah.
And they still became complete.
Yeah.
Because they gave time to introversion. Introversion finishes influence.
Mm.
Right? So when we come as Brahmins, being introspective, you know, here's me and Baba, and what am I becoming? I'm very clear about that. And then everything that's offered on a plate, is that useful for me right now? No, okay. You'll just feel what's useful for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you take what you need. But you know where you're going with your relationship with Baba.
Yes. And I actually had that experience coming here, that I was really struggling with something, and the storm was coming. And I've gotten to the point where I've learned, oh, good, there's a storm, because it means it'll pass and I will move forward. But it's very easy here. But then when you go home and you get caught up in, I have to go to work and I have center and I have the to-do list, is there any little secrets you can share to help us in
you know,
the mix of things?
One of the things I used to see Daddy do a lot was before she started something, she'd have a moment of silence.
Mm.
And what she was doing in that moment, she was just repositioning herself. It was just her and Baba. Because you want to bring yourself to the feeling where Karan Karavanhar Baba is, you can see Karan Karavanhar Baba do something.
Mm.
You know, many years ago, I complained to her a little bit. I said, Daddy, why do you always keep saying, can't you see what Baba's doing? I can't see that. I can only see what I'm doing. And she said, it'll take time. And I kept that as a name.
Mm.
I want to be able to see this reality of Karan Karavanhar Baba. And as I kept that aim, and I understood what it meant to be an instrument and a trustee, a bodiless trustee, then I started to understand, wow, this is how Baba works.
Mm.
This isn't me, this is Baba. You know, inside us, inside our bhavna, bhavna is that deep, pure wellspring of pure feeling that emerges when I fall back into this deep remembrance of Baba.
Mm. Beautiful.
Now this bhavna is very rich. But it gets added to, because think about the feelings we have. There's bhavana linked to our part and our purpose, our mission in life, what we have to complete. There's Baba's bhavana for us. There's the bhavana of the good wishes that all the people that have helped us in our life, that's imprinted in our bhavana. There's the bhavana of the devotees that they have for us. So there's so much richness in this bhavana. It's an intelligence. And sometimes, you know, how can you have ego when you have bhavana?
Yes.
So when you're doing something, or you're going somewhere, there's a particular bhavana that's inspiring that. So when you stay connected to the bhavana, then you let go of the thought, I have to do something, or I'm doing something. You just stay away from it. And you stay connected. So then service is just a stream of consciousness and feeling, pure feeling. You're just recycling pure feelings into everything. You know? So body consciousness hits when there's resistance of any kind of I don't want to do this. You know, I'm in that space right now myself, you know, in a project that I have no qualifications for. And sometimes I thought, I shouldn't be doing this. And then I just stop and I surrender the intellect and I just let detach and go to Baba. Take a deep breath and start again. With love. With bhavana.
Yes.
So then it's, you're not battling with yourself. When you recognize that so much of who we are is happening through us. It's not happening from us or to us. It's happening through us. We are recycled. We are bhavana. We have to just keep recycling bhavana in service. So then everything is service. Even this meeting is service. Even me chopping the vegetables is service. Even because it's just bhavana being shared.
Yeah,
there was a businessman from Kuwait that had come to see Daddy, and he'd come only for 3 days, especially to meet her. And he asked Daddy this question: Daddy, you keep saying don't think. How is it possible not to think? I'm a businessman. In a couple of weeks, I have to make a presentation to the Emir of Kuwait. I have a team of 20 people working on project plans. I have to think. And Daddy gave a beautiful answer. She said, Daddy keeps herself away from two thoughts. I have to do something. That's before she does something, that thought out. And then after she's done something, I have done something. So if you keep yourself away from both of these, then you can accomplish everything you have to do without the weight of the I, which is absolutely not needed. Because Karan Karavanhar has to do something. So I have to check in with Baba first. Right? That's what that moment of silence is. And then from that place of silence, start. So where is this pressure? I have to do this.
Right.
It's just a learned habit that needs to be broken.
It is a deep habit. And I have learned, so in my Lakic job, I work with small children. And I find the mind is very similar. And with small children, when they're getting into something they're not supposed to, you redirect them and you go, hey, come, you want to play with this, right? And so I find very often having a replacement thought often helps. So if I get caught into the I have to do because I have this long to-do list, when I find myself getting caught in that, what would be a really good replacement thought?
Baba, you come and do it.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, it's traffic control. Om Shanti.
That's another secret. Don't use your energy, use Baba's energy.
Beautiful.
That's why we have the saying, let go and let God. And this was one of Daddy's secrets of longevity. When I remember when we used to translate for her, and after a a marathon class she gave, I came into her room and I just kind of sat down next to her, and she was reading like Purity magazine, the newspapers to come out. And I said to Daddy, that was, you know, that was like 2 hours worth of translation in one shot. And she looked at me, are you tired? I was like, no. I said, well, a little bit. And she said, well, see, that's the difference between you and me. You use your energy, I use Baba's energy.
Mm.
I save my energy. Because in any situation, your awareness of being with Baba is what the other soul needs. But they need something from Baba. You're just the instrument. You have like chickpeas or sesame seeds to give. Baba has an unlimited vibration to give.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful. Let go and let God. Love it. All right. Thank you so much, Sister Gopi. You've given us so much. I feel like I have just had a big meal, but I don't feel stuffed.
Good. Good.
So thank you so much. You've given us a lot to think about, a lot to help us move forward and make our elevated effort.